Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hey, it's so good to see everyone, and it's good to have all locations that are here in Guthrie and Deer Creek, and we just thank everybody who is joining in. I just got something very special that I want to just let you know that's coming next weekend. Next weekend, we're going to be having a friends and family day here. Don't be too excited. Don't just go overboard. It's going to be happening next week. We're going to have fun around here. And this is a great opportunity for you to invite people, your friends, your family, your coworkers, your neighbors, whoever that may be, people you run into, people you've wanted to invite. You know, there's a lot of CEO Christians. We've talked about that before, Christmas and Easter-only Christians. And we're going to give you an excuse to go after them too, okay? And let them know that they can come. And next week when they come, here's some special things that we're going to be doing. First off, every single person who comes into the doors, okay, is going to be able to receive one of these new shirts with our new logo. And exactly, I'm modeling it for you today. How about that? We'll give them their shirt in their appropriate size, but we will not give them the sling that comes with it, okay? Does that sound like a good deal? All right, that'll be their own options on their decisions that they make if they want to. So anyway, we're going to be doing that. We're going to be having treats every location, every experience. We're going to have special treats. We're going to be giving away these shirts to every single person. We're also giving away at all experiences, all locations, Fitbits. So if you want to just like have a little bit of, you know, extra inspiration for, you know, getting in shape, whatever it is, we're going to be giving away a bunch of Fitbits, and we're going to be drawing those, but there's going to be a lot of more given away. And you can come and you can get those. So if you want to get your, you know, swimsuit body ready, you can start using that to kind of count your steps or whatever. I actually haven't used them. I thought that I meant that'd be funny too. I'm trying, folks, today. Is it me or you? Don't answer that. I'm just going to assume it's you and you assume it's me, all right? How about that, okay? And so that's going to be happening next week. And so come, and then I'm going to be delivering a word that I believe that every person is going to need to hear, especially those who do not regularly attend. And I believe that it's going to be a great opportunity for them to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if not, people who do not, maybe they're Christian, but do not have a church family, that they can seek their roots down, because we believe that every follower of Christ needs a family to worship with, right? That's why you're here. That's why we're a part of this. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 18. We're continuing week number 2 of the series Victory. And I want to start with verse number 21. You can go to your Bible. You can go to your digital phone. You can look at the big Bible screen in the sky that we have at all locations. You can call our screens, and you can follow along with me. I will be covering a lot of scripture. We're going to start with verse number 21. It says, "Then Peter came to him," him is Jesus, "and asked, 'Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me?'" Isn't that the same question we're asking today? Now, you might not verbalize it, but you feel it. You struggle with it. You wrestle with it. Do I keep forgiving them? How do I handle this? What do I do with this person, this situation in my life? It's an age-old thing that hasn't changed. 2,000 plus years later, we're still dealing with it. Then he asked one more question. 7 times, maybe? Could that be the answer? Is that the right one, Jesus? You know. And so he throws that out. Now, I want to encourage you to take notes. I think taking notes is a very important thing. In fact, you've heard me say that it's the note takers that will get to enter into heaven first. It's somewhere in the Bible. Because I want you to be a student of the Word. I want you to dive into the Word. I want it to be something you don't just get on Sundays or on Thursdays or wherever you... I want it to be something that you are very intentional about every day. If we're going to grow as a student, you don't choose not to go to school. You don't choose not to read the book. You have to actually give yourself to the process. And I want you to be a student. Also, when you go to Victory groups, and we're going to have those in Oklahoma City Sunday night, the large groups, and then in Guthrie and Deer Creek on Wednesday nights. But then we also have a lot of them that are meeting in homes all over the place. In those Victory groups, we're going to be breaking down scripture, and we're going to be breaking down what I'm talking about right now. And so it will help you to come in with your questions, ideas, thoughts in regards to what God is speaking to you. In your notes, write this down, the very first thing. Sometimes the best in you is released when the worst is done to you. Think about that for just a moment. And it is so true. It is a scriptural principle that God says, if you let him, even when you have had the most outlandish, most painful, the most difficult things happen to you, in the middle of all of that, God can turn it around and make something good happen out of something very bad. That's a scriptural principle. But you have to make some decisions along that process. I told you last week that I would be giving you some insight on what happened here and actually be showing you actual video footage of the crash that created this surgery that I had a little over a week ago. How many of you are excited about seeing that? That is very disappointing that your hands would even start to go up. Very disappointing. Let me just say, you're very disappointing. And so, little story behind the story on this. 3 years ago, 2015, Easter, had all of our experiences. My family is all in. We go out and eat afterwards at the house. And so we have a big Easter lunch, dinner. And then my kids want to go skateboarding. So we pick this like large hill with the one skateboard we have. And it is as steep as we can find. My role is to be the driver. So that means that they are riding it all the way down. And you get the very bottom of the hill. You can kind of go back up and a little curve. And it kind of goes back uphill and slows down. And so my role as the driver is just to follow them down, pick them up, bring them back up. I've done that for over 2 hours. 2 hours driving them, picking them up, dropping them off, riding down, picking them back. One time or a couple times, I would actually go along the side to see how fast they were going. And my son was getting up to almost speeds of 30 miles an hour. It's moving pretty good. Considering no helmets, that's moving pretty good. At the end of the 2 hours, it's starting to get dark. I make the comment, say, hey, why don't I try? To which my kids responded, Dad, that's probably not a good idea. And I said, why not? I can do that too. And so they said, they kind of discouraged me, but I said, let me give it a shot. So I get on the skateboard, and I went down. And I did pretty good. I was pretty impressed. I said, let me try it again. So we go up. I did it the second time. I was like, man, this is pretty good. I'm getting faster each time because I'm going up higher on the hill, kicking the certain curves so I can get as much speed as I possibly can. I did it the third time. How many know that the third time is the charm? Every time. It just works that way. So I get on the board the third time, and I start going down, and this is what you get. Get ready. That is me. That is no stump dummy. That is the actual dummy. And I am getting faster and faster. About right here, I'm going about 30 miles an hour, trying to make this curve, and I'm not quite. And see that culvert right there? That is not a good thing, because what happens is I go right in. We will stop right there, because the explosion in my brain and the blood and guts was not pretty. You would not want to see that. So, I do not remember the next couple of days. And I had 12 staples in my head. I had severe arm injury that was not taken care of at the time. And it was sometime later, 3 years later, this past week and a half, that I finally did this. And when the radiologist and the MRI and when the doctor actually went in there, he said, that was messed up shoulder. That they said had to have happened from a major wreck. And I said, yes. And I got the video footage of it. Here's the thing. I can leave this unattended over time, but it's never going to heal properly. Eventually, you have to do something with it. I've had people say that time heals. That is a lie. It is not the truth. It's what you do with time that is going to heal or not. This was not going to heal by itself. Eventually, I had to do something drastic and major so that it can begin to heal. Now, there's a part of me that feels like it's a setback, right? I'm actually going backwards to go forwards. And it's a lot of times when it comes to the issue of forgiveness, you got to do that. You got to stop and begin to realize that Time is not healing the issues, the hurts, the pain, the issues in my life. I've got to choose to make a decision to deal with this so that I can move forward. You see, unforgiveness cannot be left unattended. Offenses in your life, people who hurt you, who disappoint you, who don't meet your expectations, cannot be left unattended. You've got to address it. And I have found that sometimes the people who know you the best can bring the most pain in your life. The people who, quote, love you the most can hurt you the most. Look at verse number 22. Notice what Jesus says in response to Peter's questions. Jesus responds, "No, Peter, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. Peter was trying to make this a mathematical equation when it comes to forgiveness. Peter was trying to make forgiveness a measurable thing. Don't we all? Don't we all want to have ways to being able to measure something and keep count of something and to be able to, like, you know, now it's too much? And that's what Peter was doing. Matter of fact, I think Peter actually, probably knowing him, had somebody in mind. And Peter knows what the rabbis are teaching during that day, because most of the famous rabbis were teaching this concept, that it's the three strikes principle. Even before baseball, they were teaching that. Strike one, okay? Strike two, and then strike three, they're done. You don't have to forgive them anymore. You can move on. And Peter is taking the extra spiritual approach, saying, hey, how about 7 times? And I've got a feeling that he had somebody who has offended him 6 times, and now he's ready to be done with that person. How many of you are really good at math? Raise your hand. I got just a few. So that means the rest of you are really bad at math. I understand. But I have found when it comes to keeping track and keeping count of offenses and hurts against us, we are all really, really, really good. And you might not be really organized in your life. You know, your things may be a disarray in your home or your car or whatever. But bottom line is, I have found out that all of us are really good at organizing in our brain and keeping files on everything that happens against us. We know the time, we know the place, we know who it was, we know the situation, we know everything, and we are really good at keeping track in our mind. I have found also that it can happen one time, but yet we will replay that same thing again and again and again and again in our mind. Over and over again. Write this down. It's the second thing I want you to write down. Is forgiveness is not keeping score, but losing count. Forgiveness is not keeping score, but losing count. So this past week, I had a certain staff member who offended me. I will not tell who he is, but he is the tallest guy on our staff. And he was talking, and he brought up, and he was saying, yes, and he said, the sweetest and the most fit guy staff member on our team. And I was ready for him to talk about me. I braced myself, because he's going to start talking about me. The sweetest and the most fit of all staff members. But he didn't. He said J.C. Chapel is. You know who JC is? JC is over our J-High and our facilities, and he also does 252. And when he said that, I was personally offended. I made a check. I filed a place in my brain. You know what I'm thinking? I'm going to prove him wrong. So you know what I've been doing? I've been walking some old elderly people across the street this week that I don't normally walk across. You know what? I'm saying thank you to people I normally wouldn't say thank you to. I'm going out of my way. You know why? Because I'm going to prove to him that I am the sweetest person on the staff. And in shape, fitness thing, I know JC's 25 years younger than me. I know he works out all the time, but I've worked out with him. And I'm telling you what, when I get out of this sling, I'm going to work out like I've never worked out. I'm going to lose weight, and I'm going to go show them that I can outwork out JC. And that's exactly how we do forgiveness. It could be something as small as what somebody says or some huge event in our life. But we all struggle with it to some degree because we keep track. We keep an Excel file in our brain of everything that happens and what's done against us, and we are keeping track instead of what we should be doing is losing count. Let's look at verse number 23, what Jesus says, because now Jesus breaks it down into a real life situation. Look at verse number 23. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with his servants who had borrowed money from him. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like, can be compared to. This is important because he's given a very spiritual thing, but it's also a very physical thing. Do you realize, all of you, you really can't separate the physical and the spiritual because it's all one? You're a physical being, but you also are a spiritual being. And he's laying this out here as a ridiculous story, but yet also as something that is very real in our lives every day. In fact, when Jesus said 70 times 7, he wasn't saying 490 times and now you keep track up to that point. He was giving out a hyperbole, which basically is this. It's an exaggerated statement to draw home a point or to lay out something. And then he tells this parable to really lay it home more. And so look at verse number 24. In the process, one of the debtors was brought in who owed him millions of what? Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. Millions. Now stop and think about that for just a moment. How many, listening to me right now, could pay that back? No. I don't know who we have given millions of dollars. And then look at the next verse. It gives the obvious. He couldn't pay. He couldn't pay. Look at the person next to you and say, he couldn't pay. Look at the person next to you on the other side and say, you can't pay. There was a song that we used to sing whenever I was little. It said, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Who are we talking about? Jesus Christ. And he wants you to know, when it comes to the spiritual realm, none of us can pay God back. None of us can even begin to pay God back. And so let me just say, when it comes to the issue of forgiveness, when somebody offends you, they can't pay you back, whoever has hurt you, whoever has offended you, whoever has stolen from you. They may have stole $20 from you. And you say, oh, no, Pastor, they can pay me back. Give me my $20 back. They may be able to give you your $20 back, but they really can't pay you back for the broken trust that's created in that relationship. You see, because you can throw some numbers out there, you can do, but bottom line is, there's some things that have been said and things that have been done that once those words are out, once the deed is done, you can try your best, but you cannot reverse the situation. And you cannot pay somebody back. You gotta move forward. Let's continue on. So his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife and children and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me. I will pay it all. Even though he couldn't, he said, I will pay it. The writer says he could not pay him back. And yet he said, I will pay it back. He could not. There was no way. Then the master was filled with pity for him and released him and forgave his debt. The title of my message today is Release It. Release it. Say it to yourself right now. Say it out loud with me. Ready? Release it. Say it one more time. Release it. I wanted to bring in balloons. Matter of fact, I had this great idea. Sometimes I have great ideas and my staff shoots it down. I had great ideas of like bringing in balloons, like thousands of balloons at all locations and having all these balloons in here that were helium-filled balloons. And everybody have a card that they can write down, you know, what it is that somebody offended them back when you were 6 years of age, back when you were 16 years of age, back when you were 26, this last week. And you can write that down, and then you take that balloon and you walk out of here and then you release it in the air. It was an incredible idea. They start dealing with monetary numbers, how much it's going to cost, how much time it's going to take to fill up all the balloons. And then they start dealing with pollution issues, like pollution and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, get over it. But I want you. I'm trying to forgive people. Man, these messages are real to me every week. They hit home. So I want you to grab hold in a spiritual sense of your balloon through this message, but I want you at some point to release it and let it go and let it fly up in the air. Now, granted, like me and like you, you're constantly grabbing back hold of another one, right? And you got to keep releasing it. And it's a lifelong journey of continuing to release what you are hanging on to, which brings me to the thoughts in regards to the misunderstandings of forgiveness. These are key misunderstandings. Write these down. First off is this: if I forgive, I won't feel. There's a misunderstanding that somewhere along the road, we bought into this idea that if I really forgive, I will stop feeling something against that person. That is not the case. Now, I want you to understand, we are people who do not operate by our feelings, that we operate first and foremost by what? Faith. But God has given us feelings that are very real that we use as indicators to be able to know how to direct our faith. Did that go over your head? You get that. And so what I'm going to talk about just for a moment is it's so important to understand that if you walk by faith, over time, those feelings will dissipate, that you will be able to walk into a room again with them. You will be able to say hi to them again. You will be able to smile again, and you will be able to pray blessings over them and love them again. Second is this: if I forgive, I will forget. That's a misunderstanding. We think at some point that if I will just really, really forgive, it'll be erased from my mind. That is not the case. You know what you do? You do not forget, but you do cancel the debts. You do release the debts. If somebody owes me $1,000 and there's no way they could pay that back, at some point I come to the point and like realize, okay, I'm just going to cancel the debt, go. I will always remember that, but I don't hold it against them. I get to the point that they can't pay that back. I'm not going to hold that against them. I release them from the debt that they once had to me. Thirdly is this: if I forgive, I am doing them a favor. If I forgive, I'm doing them a favor. That is one of the great lies of the enemy that we feel and we lay hold of. And the truth of the matter is, you're not doing them a favor. You're doing who a favor? You. You're doing yourself a favor. And the last one is this: if I forgive, I must be friends again. Now, don't get me wrong in this. You must love again. You must care again. But that doesn't mean that you're going to be on the same relationship level that you once were. Hear me? Now, navigating this is the one area that you cannot navigate alone. You've got to have other people that are spiritual people who understand the word, who are spirit-minded people, who can help navigate you through that. I've been there. I've walked with that, and I've had to depend on other people to help set boundaries because, you see, somebody who's offended you, hurt you again and again. Now, I'm not talking about just like what, you know, somebody makes a little comment. I'm talking about this could be issues that are very deep wounds, hurts in your life. I'm talking about physical abuse. I'm talking about sexual abuse. I'm talking about mental abuse. I'm talking about some things that have hurt, that somewhere there has to be boundaries in place. But do not make them alone. You make those with spiritual mentors and people in your life that can help you, because if not, if you try to do it yourself, out of your issues, you will put up fences that were not appropriate fences, and in the wrong place, you'll put those fences up. But you've got to depend on other people to help you establish those in your life. I hope somebody's getting this today. Verse number 28, look at it. Verse number 28. Now, look. But when the man left the king, who's the man who left the king? The one what? The one who left the king is the one who has been forgiven what? His debts. How much had he been forgiven? Millions of dollars he'd been forgiven. Notice what it says. He went to a fellow servant who owed him a few, what? $1,000. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. You know what this shows? It shows how ridiculous we can be when we refuse to release an offense. It speaks to the anger that this man was living in. You know what I have found? I've found some of the happiest people in the world are the people who are least easily offended. That if you're not easily offended, you're going to be happier than other people who are easily offended. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to be offended. We're going to be offended, but you've got to learn how to quickly release that offense in your life. Now, continue on. He grabbed him by the throat. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me, and I will pay it, he pleaded. Now, here's the ironic thing. In the previous story there of the other person dealing with this man, it says that he could not pay it back. There's no way. In this story, he probably could have paid back a few thousand dollars. I look across this room, and pretty much everybody could at some point, maybe in the next several weeks, maybe a few months, you could pay back a few thousand dollars, right? You could figure out a way to do that, and this guy could do that. But here's his response. But his creditor couldn't wait. He had the man arrested, put in prison, until the debt could be paid in full. How stupid and crazy is that? He threw him in jail. At least the other guy was tempted to sell him off and get some money, but no, no, no. He says, I'm going to throw you in jail. Now pay me back. And that's exactly what we do when we do not forgive people. We throw them in the prison of our brain, and we say, pay us back, pay us back, pay us back. And there's no way they're ever going to pay you back. And really, the person that's imprisoned is not the person you put in prison in your brain. It's you. You're the one that really is in prison. Let's continue on. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Do you realize this? Your test is your testimony, whether good or bad. And other people are watching. And the greatest testimony we have of our Christian faith is how we handle the offenses of other people. And the greatest detriment to our Christian faith is how we handle the offenses of other people. Christ handled the offenses as our example perfectly. We are to learn from his example. Continue on. Then the king called the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I have mercy on you? Then the angry king, that's a righteous anger, justice, sent the man to prison to be tortured until he could pay his entire debt. You know what I found out? Sometimes we throw people in their torture chambers and we're the ones that's actually being tortured. Some of them don't even remember. I went to my doctor this past week to get looked at and to take the stitches out because none of my staff members would take the stitches out of my shoulder where the surgery happened. And so I went to the doctor and he went in and you know one of the first questions he asked me, he said, so when did we do the surgery? I was offended. I'm like, the guy cut me open, created all of my pain, laid over the top of me while I'm out of it, and just ripped my body all apart. He was doing all of that to me, and he can't remember? I know when it was. It was April the 4th at 7 a.m. in the morning you did that to me. You know what? But we do that. Somebody hurts us. We expect them to remember all the details and the feelings of the moment. They're not going to remember. You know what they're doing every night? Well, you're staying up rehearsing it again and again, and you are staying up worried about it, and you're angry about it, you're mad about it. They're home in bed sleeping. At some point, we got to stop hanging on to it. We got to release it and say, I'm not going to hang on to this more. I'm going to move forward in Jesus Christ. Now, is that easy? No, no, that's not easy. But you got to keep releasing it again and again. Look at verse number 35. That's why my heavenly father will do to you if you refuse to forgive my brothers and sisters from your heart. When I came back from the surgery, you know what I had? I had my arm blocked off. So I was put out. I was out in surgery. And then I came back. And for the next 12 to 18 hours, there was no feeling. My shoulder, my neck, all the way down to my hand. You could have taken a sledgehammer and smashed my hand. And I would have said, thank you. I would have had no, it was very weird. Matter of fact, I told Shannon toward the end, I was like getting very concerned. I was like, get this feeling back in a hurry. You know what happens when you choose to walk in forgiveness and you don't deal with the feelings of your pain from the past in appropriate, timely manner over time? You go numb. And it becomes a heart issue. Hear me. Which brings me to the last thought to write down.
while you will be offended, victory comes in quickly releasing the offense. While you will be offended. What does that mean? It means you will be offended. Hey, that's okay. It's all right to be offended. In fact, Jesus said in Luke 17, verse number 1, he said, in this world you will be offended. It is impossible not to be offended. You're going to be offended. How quickly are you releasing the offense is the key issue. In Ephesians, it says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. What does that mean? It means when you're offended, when you're hurt, get done with it. Walk it through in your feelings. Mentally walk through and say, I'm not going to hold somebody accountable for my own personal feelings. I'm going to choose to do this God's way, forgive them, and release it. So that I can be set free and so that I can walk in victory. And hear me, you received it and you can release it. Let me say that again. You received it, what the hurt, the pain, all the, you can release it. What is that? The hurt, the pain, all that stuff. You've got to make a choice. Choose today to release it. I was thinking about this in regards to Christians. We got a lot of people that love Jesus. And man, they know how to quote scripture, and they come in and worship God, and their vertical relationship is doing awesome. They're like, relationship with Jesus is doing awesome. In their mind, it's doing awesome. But their horizontal relationships with their spouse, with their kids, with their parents, with teachers, with other people in their life, they're struggling there. There's something wrong with that. Because you see, that vertical relationship and horizontal relationship makes a cross. Jesus said, you got to take up your cross and follow me. Matter of fact, the book of John says this. It says, how can you profess to love a God who you cannot even see, but you cannot love your neighbor who you can see? Come on, church, we got to release some unforgiveness. We got to release the offenses. We got to realize that it's not about how many Bible verses I can quote. It's not about how that I can raise my hands or use my spiritual gifts. It's all about how am I getting along with my neighbor. Because if I love my God, I will get along with my neighbor. Now hear me on this. That doesn't mean you will always be able to reconcile everything. Hear me. You see, because while reconciliation with someone else, being back together, is always the goal, it is not always reality. But releasing an offense is always possible. There's some people that have hurt you and brought pain in your life, and they're dead and gone. You can't reconcile that relationship. And in a very real, tangible way, there's people you do life with that you may never reconcile that relationship with. Because it takes two to tango. And you got to have somebody else on the other side saying, I'm going to come in line with the scripture and the word of God too. You might not ever have that happen, but you know what you can do? You can release it and do your responsibility and walk in the favor of God. I'm preaching this with so much intensity today because I feel like there's so many people that struggle with this. I do, you do, we all do. I've always considered, for me too, my biggest person I have trouble forgiving is me. I think Shannon would vouch for this, that for the most part, I don't hold grudges against people. I'm not saying I don't. I don't think I'm easily offended. I laugh. I kind of move on with things. I kind of forgive. I don't care what they say to me, how they attack me. I tend to have been able to deal with that. There's been a few exceptions along the way, but I feel like I do pretty good. Sometimes it's me for hard to forgive. Sometimes it's me. I struggle with me more than anybody else. My feelings. I'm about to give a response. And here's what I want you to do. I want every single person, if you need to release something, maybe it's something that you can identify in your mind. Maybe it's not. Sometimes there's so many offenses that happen over time. We can't even name one specific thing. We just know we struggle with anger. We struggle with unforgiveness. We're not happy. And we need to learn. Maybe it's something that happened this week. But I want you to release it today. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come forward and release that. Every person. Father, I pray now by the power of your Spirit. You're going to break down walls. Today, people are going to release things that they're holding on to. Things that need to be forgiven.
things that need to be dealt with, that they're going to release that and say, no more, God. I'm not going to carry that out. I'm not going to carry it out of here. I'm going to release it. In Jesus' name, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I'm going to be free. And when I have a temptation to grab hold of it again, I'm going to release it again. It's just as soon as I grab hold, I'm going to quickly release it and give it back to you, God. In Jesus' name.